Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I've just gone 8:35 Central African time, and I can tell you, Boniface, hey, you got the lovely Nasheeds there. And, you know, when I want to listen to it, he's doing this and that. Hey, he's playing a lovely game with me. I'm really enjoying that, Boniface. It's like you got me offside and the VAR is checking it out, and oh, it's a penalty, or it's a different formation change. But time for us to join Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam on his segment of Parliamentary Tunes. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, nice, cool, cloudy day in the city of Itegwini, Durban. Of course, that hasn't deterred all our beachgoers. Lots and lots of them enjoying the beautiful ocean while they can. Of course, you know, mindful of the fact that it indeed is contaminated. That is not stopping our people. They enjoy the contaminated water, isn't it? But, brother Safwat, on a most solemn note, you know, very devastating, the fire in Johannesburg, over 74 of them having died, many hundreds of them are still, you know, recovering in hospital. But I think the saddest story for me, and I was reading this on the plane yesterday, one of the newspapers, when the fire officers explained that when they got to one of the floors and one of the rooms, and remember, many of these rooms had rooms in the rooms. They've had various structures, even double-decker structures, you know, of people living and all were renting there. It is apparently estimated over 300,000 rand was collected rentals every month there. But the sad thing was when I read, you know, I just could not really handle that, was when apparently a mother was clutching onto her baby. Both were burnt completely. And the fire officers said they could not even put them in a body bag. And they could not separate them either. Now, just trying to picture this, how tragic that is, how tragic that is, really. And I really believe that if there's anybody that must take responsibility, is for the city. This bickering between political parties, wanting power, wanting control, rather than addressing it, you know, it is now clear that most of these buildings have been allocated even to NGOs and NPOs. There are allegations that they are linked to politicians or linked to officials. And there are criminal syndicates that are going out there and claiming rentals from these people. And it's not just in these so-called captured or hijacked buildings. Even in legitimate buildings where there's a problem in terms of management and things, criminal syndicates are attempting to do that there. And they're doing it there as well, going out there armed and demanding money. But my question is, and I know many politicians are blaming each other, they must all take responsibility. Every political party that is governing in the city of Johannesburg and governed in the last 10 years must all take responsibility for it. They must be held accountable, because none of them have actually come to the fore to do anything about it, which could have prevented a disaster of this nature. Now, suddenly the president says that the law enforcement must deal with these hijacked buildings. You've got Minister Zulu who's blaming apartheid for it. But, you know, I have repeatedly raised, even with Minister Zulu, NGOs and NPOs in South Africa have a free fall. They just get monies from locally, internationally, no accountability. Very little or nothing is being done to ensure that they account for the monies they receive, or they put programs in place. The only thing I know that they do, and they do a good job at, is create this 50 rand placards and go outside the court and say, no bail for rapists, no bail for murderer. But what did they do to prevent this woman from being raped or murdered? Absolutely nothing. So this is the problem that we are facing, lack of accountability, even though, and I've raised this many times to them. But more importantly, coming back to Didi, you know, people must stop looking at these people as foreign nationals or South Africans. These are all human beings. The only reason, my brother, they are here is because they are, you know, economically in their country. You know, take Zimbabwe. Yet again, there it is. There's a massive dispute about the election result. So Zimbabwe is going nowhere, yet it has everything to create, turn that country around. Look at what has just happened in Gabon. Look at what is happening in Sudan. You know, so the end result is that African countries and African leaders are selfish, they are greedy, they want power, they want control, even if they can't read and write, and they want to take the organizations to the grave. These are the reasons why these foreign nationals come here for economic opportunity. Ask ourselves, brother Shabbat, why will they leave their mothers, their fathers, their children, their brothers, their sisters, their homes, their friends, everything and come here? Just as we say that to emigrate is one thing, but to go into another environment and start life all again, it's not just a simple thing. It's the same for these. Why do we treat these people differently? Is it because they're black? Is it because they are foreign nationals? But yet we forget one thing, that every human being on this earth is member of an extended family. If we go back to the history of mankind, everyone is an extended member of one family. That's what it is all about. But look at the way we treat these people. I mean, it's very shocking. You know, I was in Johannesburg on the Friday, and I looked at the state of the CBD in many of these areas. In fact, where I have my offices, the owner took me to show me a fire department building across the road from him, a couple of stories, in shocking conditions, and also hijacked building. In shocking condition. If you go to that area of Johannesburg, the CBD, and see the state of it, what are these people doing? Do they ever even go and drive around there, even though they got all these bodyguards? So I think politicians and these officials in the city of Johannesburg must take responsibility. No point in coming and telling us 50 buildings are hijacked. And I'm now told there's much more than that. Even Devon's got buildings that are hijacked. Now, if you look at the construction sites are being hijacked by a construction mafia, comes back to what we've always said, brother, that South Africa is in a state of lawlessness. My question is, why do you want to react? Why not be proactive? Did you not expect or anticipate, given the state of these buildings, given the fact that so many informal settlements catch on fire and things like that, that this is also a serious threat and a risk? Did you have to wait now for people to die? So really, I think it is the lack of commitment, the infighting between political parties to want to govern. That is the financial hub. And every month you're changing the mayors. You want to remove them. So they're busy trying to get power control rather than addressing the real problems that we got. Now, Brother Shepherd, the fight in the Zulu royal household is continuing. It seems like it will end up like the Shaka Dingaan story. Somebody's going to die. You understand? That is particularly what is no different to what's happening in the political arena in KZN. You can see that the ANC has now given some additional protection to the regional chairperson because of the assassinations. You know that the NFP had one councillor assassinated, attempted assassination on another. ANC councillors have been shot and killed, so there's a lot going on. Well, something that I think we all must be mindful of, the USA once again in the news. Rise in COVID, rise in hospitalizations, they are talking about. And then there's a video that's floating around, Brother Shepherd, of the four-way sent in those areas of police officers from Douglas Day Police Station, it is alleged, that stop the motorists, find them for speeding, take them through to Douglas Day, demand money from them and to withdraw the cases, threatening to kill them, telling them that they are a mafia organization. They don't play. That is why so many people have been killed in hijackings. Telling them that it's not actually hijacking is because they failed or refused to cooperate. I have forwarded that into the provincial commissioner. I must be honest. The provincial commissioner of the Gauteng has been making a lot of gains, a lot of successes in trying to combat crime. Well, the good news is that the police have arrested 18 people. Suspects, which appears to be the mastermind behind the cash-in transitized all over the country. I hope that this might bring some closure to this issue of cash-in transit. And I always said that these people migrate. When the police are hot on your heels in one area, then they move to the other areas. These are just some of the things amongst a whole lot more that's making headlines. Of course, the president talks about some of his disappointments in his term, which is coming to an end. Yeah, and one of them he's talking about is the corruption at the PPE, you know, during COVID. And I can tell you, even I am very disappointed, because the least you'll think that some of these criminals are also human beings, that people will not go and steal, you know, when people are dying because of PPE, but they even did that. So you can't take anything away from politicians and officials and criminals in large.
Yeah, Ahmad, you know, you make a lot of sense, and you talk about the buildings, and you know, the story that you have said was so graphic, and a lot of us got very emotional when we heard how the mother was clutching onto the baby. Allah, you know, it was very sad indeed. And the most important point you made was these are human beings. I mean, we're talking about you know, closing the borders and doing this and that. The fact is that they are here, and they are being exploited by unscrupulous individuals. And as you said, you know, allegedly some of the government officials that are involved. And I think the most important point that you made was the municipality, you know, of Johannesburg, more worried about who's going to govern, who's going to rule, instead of worrying about the infrastructure and what's really happening in the city. And it seems as if, you know, with all the earthquakes and all the fires that's taking place in Johannesburg, it's in a disaster zone, Ahmad.
Yes, indeed. I can tell you that what happened here is no surprise. But, you know, all they are doing right now is each one is blaming the other. Herman Mashaba blames the current mayor and things. But Herman Mashaba was there for 3 years. What did he really do? Yes, he spoke against foreign nationals. He created the hatred against the foreign nationals in this country as if they're not part of us. Herman Mashaba is living on an all-time high. He forgets that it is these African countries that came to the rescue and brought liberation. Not Herman Mashaba brought liberation to our people. It's these black brothers and sisters who sacrificed, who hid our people there, gave them food, gave them everything. Even built tunnels for our people to hide from the brutal apartheid police that was colluding with some in the other countries as well. You know, but he won't go in touch with them and do anything about it. But they are blaming each other. Instead of rather taking responsibility, because they were governing for 3 years. The DA was governing there for 3 years under Herman Mashaba. What did they do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Black lives don't matter. That's the difference. And we are using the foreigners as an escape route in this country for our own failures and weaknesses. We've got 1 million people and children being born here every year with no plan whatsoever to absorb them into society, into jobs, into the social security system. Nothing, Brother Shepherd. We have just lost leadership and guidance in this country. That is what the problem is. So now we can go out there, keep blaming. If you go and you need a rocket scientist to tell you somewhere that you're supposed to be, where you're governing, where is the councillors for these areas? That is why I say again and again, Brother Shepherd, change the electoral system. Let the people elect their leaders. Because they would have elected a leader in these areas who would have seen, would have been committed and kicked him out or her out if they did not go out there and do something in the interest of the people that live in those areas. Now, all these people are getting a salary every month. What, I mean, don't they are responsible for these wards. What have they done about it? Absolutely nothing. Have you heard them shouting, screaming, doing something? They can protest for everything else. Can they not go and protest that we must do something about it? These people's lives are in danger. You must look at the filth alone, Brother Shah. Just the filth on the streets. It is shocking the way our metros are deteriorating in this country. Really, it is shocking. So they must take responsibility, but it's a lesson also to. Unfortunately, it's coming at a very high price. You know, I don't know how any human being listening to the stories of these 74 people, how they died, how others jumped from the building, broke their ribs, how you, the mother clutching the baby. I don't know if anybody that's not moved or touched by this, Brother Shepherd, nothing in the world will touch them. And yet they are still busy fighting as early as they are, even this week. While the people are burning there, they are fighting here for power. Swan and no difference. You understand? Why is parties like the EFF who are governing with others there not in the forefront of going there and doing something about it? Why now wait and start commenting and criticizing others when they're also there? You know, so the fact of the matter is the mayor, Al-Jamaa mayor, said 100 days he's going to fix potholes. Is the potholes more important or the lives of our people is more important than them? Done nothing about it. So all of them are basically the same. Let me tell you why, Brother Shepherd. There's no passion. There's no commitment. There's nothing in them. It's just they're going out and getting paid every month. Because how can you be driving past your own ward, you understand, if ever they do drive past, that is, and look at the condition it is and what your people are living in there, and you do nothing about it?
Yeah, Ahmad, you know, you make a lot of sense here. As I look at a message from Rasul. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz. May I remind you and Member of Parliament Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam that if it was not for the residents of the different suburbs, this country would have been in a rat-like state. It would have been infested with different diseases and many other plagues. But it is the residents of the suburbs that keep it clean, that get their hedges cut, and they still pay rates and taxes for non-delivery of services. It is these fat cats who are shamelessly taking our money at such a rate and putting prices of electricity up and water with no water and electricity being delivered as it's supposed to be delivered. Please, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, this is not a healthy state in this country. When will Cyril Ramaphosa realize that most of his municipalities and most of the parts of this country is in utter ruins and utter chaos? How do you respond to our brother there, Ahmad?
Well, jazakallah for that, my brother. And I must concur with you. I must concur with you. There's nothing even for President Ramaphosa to realize. There's nothing to realize. They all must accept that we are in a failed state. I call South Africa a failed state. Okay? You can go to any city in the country. You can look at the high levels of unemployment. You can look at the fact that people got no water to drink. There it is. Right now, as I look at there, people are swimming in the water that is contaminated. They are drinking water that is contaminated. And people are getting sick, can't get into the hospital. So South Africa is at a crossroads. It's about to collapse. 5.5 trillion rand is what you are owing the lenders, okay? And there's no solution in sight. Over and above that, 400 to 500 billion rand gets lost in this country because of corruption. You are correct. The monies are going into the wrong direction. Municipalities collect your money, not when, you know, this owner of this building where I have offices in Johannesburg was telling me how high the rates are there. But if you look at that area, it's shocking the condition, but these people must pay those rates. They don't have a choice. So the municipalities are collecting this, they are eating, they are stealing. You get no value for money at all. But the reason why, even though they may understand it and know the situation, and it's not about realizing it, because only a fool in the political arena will not understand South Africa is going downhill at a rapid pace. The problem is this, that, remember, political parties, KZN, where the IFP governs and things, is no different. Where the EFF is governing with others is no different. When you go to the DA, only the affluent areas, and suburbs are okay. Go to the rest, it's a total mess. It's the same problem. The problem is because these people put only their own cadres, their own people from their own organization. They don't put people that are fit for purpose. And the fact that politicians, again, I want to say, are behind and decide who will get a tender, who won't get a tender, who will appoint these officials to give the tender so their parties can sustain themselves with that corrupting means, which actually the CEO of supply chain said 40% you lose in this country through goods and services. As long as that does not change, it's not going to change anything. How is it? How is it an ANC member leader can go and remove an ANC mayor or speaker or councillor or an official that he put in that municipality that has been feeding him through that corrupt means for the last 29 years? You think he can go and remove him? No, he can't, because he owes that the fact that those people were giving them money all the time through corrupt means. Favor for a favor, you have to keep him there, you have to protect him. You don't need a rocket scientist to know the state of Itegwini. We've tried a Section 154 with intervention from the presidency. It didn't work. You've tried from the MEC. It didn't work. Put it under administration by force. Why? It's ANC-run country, ANC-run province, ANC-run municipality. It's the same thing. Take the Western Cape. Look at the state of some of the municipalities of the DA. How corruption is rife. Why won't they do anything about it? They got their own people there. That's the point. So as long as you put your own people there, you won't be able to remove them, no matter what they do.
Yeah, look in the message. Sajid says, "Assalamu alaikum. I'm enjoying the program. Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, I'd like to tell you that even a bunch of amateurs could run the city better, that I'm talking about Durban, than it is being run now. Borrowing and misspending at unprecedented levels. Almost 60% of the city's water is lost to leaking pipes and accounts for almost 2 billion rands of its 65 billion budget. What a shame. What a disgrace. And go look at all these people that are running the Durban. They are all overweight and only sitting at chicken outlets. Ahmed, how do you respond to our brother there?
Well, I can understand the frustration, my brother, that you're going through. But you are correct. We've got people that are employed. And let me tell you, South Africa got a lot of emphasis on graduates, even though we produce poor quality graduates. Our education system is not even fit for purpose. 60% dropout in the first year. So out of that poor quality of education, you're getting graduates. You understand that you want to put in there. Maybe perhaps you should, and that is why I say, you don't need to be a graduate to understand what your people need. You don't need to be a graduate to deliver services to your people. Problem is we are, you know, it's very easy to be graduate today from, people graduate from all kinds of things today. You understand? But the end result is, because let me tell you, 30% is the pass mark. So it's okay for you to not know 70% of your work and still pass. That is the state of the country we are facing with. So end result is very simple. And you are correct about the water. Itegwi has got a 54% water leak. So over half your water at any given time is going to waste. You understand? So the problem is this. Again, I want to say, if you remove politicians to have anything to do with appointments and employment, and you remove politicians from having anything to do with procurement, which is tenders and things, I promise you, you can have a better society. And on, if political parties continue to have access to the monies at all spheres of government, politicians, whose only job is supposed to be to conduct oversight over the officials, if they continue to be in control of these two things, appointments, employment, that's one, and the second one, the tenders and procurement, South Africa can't change for the better.
Well said, Ahmed. Zamir says, Assalamu alaikum. There is no service delivery. The infrastructure is collapsing, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Corruption and political gangsterism have taken over. Paying the city is almost like feeding political mafias. Hey, that's a nail on the head there, Ahmed.
Well, Jazakallah, my brother. No, it's not actually collapsing, my brother. It's collapsed already. You know, the only thing left to collapse now is what has already collapsed. That's how bad the situation is in some parts of the country. Your roads have deteriorated. Your water system has deteriorated. Your sanitation system is, your infrastructure all over, whether you're talking about school building, you go to and see the state of some of the hospitals, the police station, you understand. Then we will, the situation is really critical, to be honest with you. You know why? There was no emphasis on maintaining. Because if money had to go to maintaining, there's less money to steal. So people were too busy stealing. That is the problem. But you're also correct in your assumption that, of course, political mafia. 100%. It's a fact. All these people that are demanding monies and everything, all linked to politicians. Politicians, if you look at COVID, look at the number of politicians that are implicated in one way or the other in the corruption there. Every single day without fail, you can be rest assured if there's anything that sells in South African media is a story of a politician. Every single day, some politician somewhere has told or implicated in some way or the other. And let me tell you the beauty of all this. You can steal as much as you want. You become more and more popular. More people will support you. More people will vote for you. You can even open your own political parties. You can do everything. Do the right thing. You know, no, you won't be trending. Do the wrong thing, you're trending and you become more and more popular.
I tell you, Ahmed, you are very popular indeed on media and whatever platform you come on, and you add a value to radio and you're an asset to the Ummah also. Perhaps your parting words before we let you go.
My brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you. In Johannesburg, see, you know, there's people have got no homes. They've got no food, they've got no clothing, they've got no blankets, they've got nothing. I want to plead to all those that are close by there, whatever little you can do for these people, please do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you abundantly. These people are in dire straits in Johannesburg at this point in time. So please, I plead with you. I know things are difficult for everybody, but even if you gave a slice of bread to somebody there, it will mean a lot. they are really going through a very, very difficult time. Some of them are saying, I mean, I read a story, Brother Shafat, of one of them said he broke his ribs or legs and whatever it is. Nobody is coming to his assistance. Others are scared to get assistance because they think they're going to be deported. You know, that is how bad the situation is there. So in whatever way we can assist, you know, I plead with our brothers and sisters. We have always done the best in line with Sharia. We must always be commended for the work, charitable work we do. And we must, in fact, be very grateful. We must be so grateful that we belong to, we are members of the Ummah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, had actually given us guidance and wisdom and direction. He's given us so much that mercy is like part of us. The feel for others is part of our life. And so I want to plead with us, let's take advantage of that and just be there for these people if we can.
Ameen, Ahmed, you have a, mashallah, lovely day ahead. Please, don't put your Bermudas on and jump in the Indian Ocean. Please, Ahmed, don't do that.
You have to clean the water first. But like my brother said, there's nothing to clean anymore. It'll take them a lifetime to clean the thing. That's how bad the situation is. Only solution, change the political landscape. Elect leaders that are committed to serving the people. Change the electoral system. And only the masses can bring about this change. Otherwise, South Africa is done and dusted, gone.
Now, you're absolutely true, Ahmed. You have a mashallah day ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.